Aretha Franklin, I say a little prayer. Connor Pope, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, eh?
Great stereo separation in that one. Did you notice it? No.
I did, but it's a great tune, isn't it?
Oh, it's a fantastic tune. Pricewatch at RTE.ie. Pricewatch at RTE.ie. So this week, Connor, we asked you to compare the environmental impact of a natural or real Christmas tree versus a fake or artificial one.
I was given homework, Ray. Can you believe it? And now the entire nation is going to mark me on my homework.
Yeah, they are.
I mean,
yes.
This is worse than a Leaving Cert nightmare.
Just so you know, the journal.ie are asking their readers today, fake or real. And of the 4,000 people who have answered their survey question, 2/3 of them have opted for fake or artificial.
And I'm not judging them because I made the mistake last week of judging you and I got it in the neck from you and then I got it in the neck from my sister who also has an artificial tree. So yeah. I'm all for live and let live. Whatever you want, whatever works for you. But
which of them is more friendly, environmentally friendly?
Well, spoiler alert, the obvious answer is the real tree is more environmentally friendly. But there's different reasons for it. So I broke down into different sections. So first you'd have to look at the carbon footprint. Now, real trees absorb CO2 as they grow, so they help to offset carbon emissions. And then even after they're cut, they can decompose naturally or they can be composted. And so they return nutrients to the soil. So by all measures, they're better in terms of CO2 and carbon and the climate crisis. Artificial trees, by contrast, are made of plastic and metal and PVC. And because of the multiple different things that are in them, they're very hard to recycle. So they always or typically end up in landfill. And when you talk about the carbon footprint and what happens, so for instance, a 6.5 foot artificial tree has a carbon footprint equivalent of about 40 kilos of greenhouse gases, okay? Now, that's more than twice that of a real tree if the tree ends up in landfill, which it shouldn't. And of course, if a real tree is properly recycled by wood chipping it or being, you know, kept growing in a pot or whatever it might be, its carbon footprint is zero. So from that environmental perspective, the real tree wins. The downside of the real tree, it's used once. It's a single-use thing, whereas the artificial tree is used over and over and over and over again. But if you buy your real tree from a reputable tree farmer who replants regularly and who looks after the soil and who has a rotating crop, well, then the damage being done by cutting down the tree is minimal, whereas the plastic tree, again, it's being shipped over from China. I think 90% of the artificial trees in this part of the world come from China. So that's a much higher carbon footprint.
Hold on.
Go on.
But in any shipment coming from China, there are hundreds or maybe thousands of artificial trees.
This is true.
So that carbon footprint has to be divvied out among all of those trees.
100%. 100%.
Yes. And you didn't mention once that people have to cut down the real trees with something that uses fossil fuel, I would imagine. Then they have to be transported from wherever they're cut down to a place. People have to drive every year to that place and collect their... So this is actually,
I think what you meant to say was that you didn't mention yet.
Okay, sorry.
I appreciate that the chance of people cutting down their trees with an axe are slim, because
yes,
that's a pretty carbon neutral way to do it. But let's face it, nobody's doing that. So there is the cutting down of the tree. That requires mechanics. That requires fuels. Then there's the ferrying of the trees from one place to another place. So the trick would be to buy the tree locally, or as locally as you possibly can. Because also, if you have to drive to a Christmas tree farm in Wicklow and you live in Stonybatter, you have to factor in the fuel costs of you getting there and back. And that is definitely a thing. The other thing, of course, to remember is that, you know, there's all the, you know, and nowadays when we get trees, they're very tightly bound in this plastic netting.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an element of it. But the bottom line here is, and like to cut to the chase, if you have an artificial tree for 10 years, its environmental impact starts to approach the environmental impact of a real tree. But if you are replacing your artificial tree every 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, well, then that's constantly generating harmful emissions, and it's constantly leaving a deeper footprint. So it really does depend on how long you use it. I mean, to kind of use the analogy of the car, the most environmentally friendly car you can have is the one that you're driving now, because in terms of if you buy a car and you drive it into the ground, it's not further damaging the environment, because it's not, if it's an electric car, it's not mining stuff from sub-Saharan yes. Africa and all of the other production elements. So it really does depend on okay. how long you have the tree. Now, I believe you have your tree for a long time.
Yes, just let's be explicit on this, if you don't mind, Conor, because I know you're sort of not, you're not unbiased, which means you're biased on this one, because you're a real tree man. But I have, we have our tree for more than 15 years. So you're yeah. saying that if we had bought a real tree every year for those 15 years, that our carbon footprint on the real tree would be greater than what it has been on our artificial tree. Is that what you're saying?
Well, unfortunately, you're putting words in my mouth there, Ray. And sadly, those words are probably accurate.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think if you were to put us toe to toe, okay?
Yes.
You have had plastic trees for the last 15 years. I have had real trees for the last 15 years. The environmental impact of my real trees every year for the last 15 years might be slightly greater than the environmental impact of your tree over the last 15 years, all things considered. However, your tree is going to spend the next 300 years, whenever it finds its way into landfill, rotting and not rotting and just filling up landfill, whereas mine is going into the soil and it's feeding animals and it's regenerating the world.
And in fairness, it brings you a lot of joy.
And that's ultimately what it comes down to, like, isn't it? You can get yourself tied up in knots here about ethical considerations and all the rest. And I totally understand that we should be talking about ethical concerns, particularly when it comes to the environment. But the bottom line here is we're talking about a Christmas tree.
Yes.
It's a fairly lighthearted thing.
It is.
If you like the artificial tree and it works for you, knock yourself out. I'm not going to stand in judgment too much.
I'm just wondering, on average, how long do people keep an artificial tree for?
That's a really good question now to ask your listeners.
Yes, it is. We won't have time for it today, but we'll do it tomorrow. And we probably have very little time for this, but you can go at it. So this came into pricewatch.rte. I'm driven demented shopping for clothes online. I don't mind the shopping, but it's the returns that are killing me. How is it possible that a size 12 in one shop is so much smaller than a size 12 in another shop? This is a perennial. And you've a minute and a half.
It's because clothes sizes in shops are absolutely meaningless. The numbers don't mean anything. And for a start, clothes sizes only became a thing in our world in the 1920s. That's when mass production techniques allowed chain stores to sell huge amounts of ready-to-wear clothing. Before that, all clothing was made by tailors. So there was no sizing system. Retailers, shops, clothes makers were allowed to create their own sizing systems, and they effectively did. So one shop might have a size 14 that measures one distance, another shop might have a size 14 that measures a different size, because there is no standardised sizing, and nor has there been for donkey's years. On top of that, you have to add in things like changing body shapes, because the human body is constantly evolving and changing. So, you know, a woman's hips from the 1920s mightn't be comparable to a woman's hips in 2024. So that's another factor to it. And then there's vanity sizing. A lot of retailers like to have size 12s that are more ample because it makes the shoppers feel good, whereas some retailers like to have their sizes way tighter.
So what's your advice then to people who are shopping online?
There's no two way. When you find a retailer that has the sizes for you, stick with them through thick and thin. That's what I do, because it works for me. If you find a retailer that has clothes that fit you, just keep wearing them until basically you're...
And you can go into their bricks and mortar shop and try it on and then buy it online if that suits you.
100%. But the thing is, once you're in the bricks and mortar shop, you might as well buy it in the shop. Because apart from anything else, that creates footfall in our towns and villages and cities, and it makes our world a better place.
Ah, yes. Thanks so much, Conor, for making our world a better place today. Pricewatch@rte.ie if you want Conor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. Thanks, Conor.
Thanks.
That's it from us. Cormac is on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.